Have you been too busy to get your associate's, bachelor's, or master's degree? Concordia University, Wisconsin offers 50 online educational options. Find out more at issuesetc.org. Click the Concordia University online logo and enter the program code ISSUES to waive your application fee. Concordia University, Wisconsin is here to strengthen and support the church. Lifelong Lutheran learning. issuesetc.org and click Concordia University, Wisconsin online.
To talk about crushing below or crushing above on a little baby so that you can get an intact heart or an intact lung or an intact liver for sale. There's no way to defend language like that.
If we pervert the word of God by not speaking the law just to try to get along or to coexist, we're ultimately going to miss out on the wonders of the gospel.
You're not just changing the words of your adoration or even changing the tune to make it upbeat or up-tempo, but this is a song of the new creation.
I think often when we pray the Lord's Prayer, we go, oh boy, forgive us our sins as we forgive others. Oh no, my sins aren't going to be forgiven. No, Luther says, stop being stupid, look at the gospel promise.
In about 15 minutes, we're going to play Issues Etc. soundbite of the week. You'll hear those four soundbites in their entirety. Then it'll be your opportunity to vote and to win the LPR bundle package. And I have Issues t-shirt, an Issues Etc. travel mug, pen, bumper sticker, and notepad. When we play Issues Etc. soundbite of the week in just about 15 minutes here on the program. There are three epithets that have become increasingly common, especially among progressives in the West. Male. That's considered kind of an insult. White, and if they're thinking a little broader, European. It's odd, though, that a lot of liberal ideology, progressive ideology, was formulated and put together by white male Europeans. Joining us to talk about the white male European roots of progressive and liberal ideology, Pastor Peter Burfeind. He is campus pastor at the University of Toledo, author of the book Gnostic America, and a recent column for The Federalist titled How Western White Males Colonized the Progressive Mind. Pastor Burfeind, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Thanks for having me, Todd.
You have done a little thought experiment where you kind of generally located geographically the epicenter of Christian thought versus 20th century liberal thought. What did you discover?
Yeah, that's a good way of putting it. It's more of a thought experiment than anything, because how do you locate the epistemological center of an entire way of thinking? But, you know, if you think about it, I mean, and the epicenter or the epistemological epicenter of Christian thought would definitely be Israel, and then you add some, you know, theological thinking from Egypt and Greece and the early church. And then if you add the element of sort of Western tradition, definitely you would add Greek and Latin thought to that. And then if you had conservative thought, sort of American conservative, capitalistic kind of thinking, you might add some thinkers from England. But if you put all that together and kind of find an average, you're in the Mediterranean. I located it at Cyprus, a nice place I'd like to be. But if you look at the center of the liberal cosmic architecture, I call it, or the epicenter of the main thinkers that have sort of made up modern progressive thought, it's generally speaking, Northern Germany, France, a lot of the deconstructionists and postmodernists come from France. 19th century German philosophy just dominated the basis for progressivism. I mean, you're in Northern Germany, and that was sort of the point I was making there. In the end, like you said, it's a thought experiment, and a lot of my article was sort of parodic or ironical. I mean, who cares, ultimately? And that's sort of our understanding of truth. Truth is truth no matter who's saying it. But my point was to sort of to point out to the people that say, you know, oh, the, you know, you just think that way because you're a white guy, or I started off talking about how, you know, we can't spread or share Jesus in an inner city black community because Jesus is a white man's religion or a white man's God. So that was the point I was trying to make there.
You say that there is kind of a Gnostic bent to so much of progressive thought. Explain that for us using, say, perhaps Marx as an example.
Yeah, and this is something I came across reading the political philosopher Leo Strauss, who talks about how you have these certain thinkers that sort of created the foundation for modern liberalism, And they come on the scene and they sort of make these grand theories on why people think the way they do. You know, Lutherans only think that way because they were 16th century German males or whatever. And a certain group thinks this way because they were born in that particular culture. And culture determines everything. And Marxism especially, through their whole idea of materialistic determinism, they try to reduce human beings and human thought, human philosophical movements to science and try to make a cause and effect. You know, you think that way just because you were born in this area in this time, and that's how white males think in this particular era. Well, the problem with that is, how do you escape then if you're Karl Marx? Well, you happen to be a white male born in 19th century England. How do you escape the tyranny of that way of thinking that you claim everybody else is under? Same thing with Weber, who, you know, wrote the whole idea of the Protestant ethic or the Protestant work ethic, basically saying that capitalism arose from Protestantism, and that's just how Protestants think, and they think, and capitalism arose from that. So capitalism is nothing more than the way, you know, WASPs might think. Well, how do you, Weber, explain, how do you escape that thought process? Or, you know, you as a man, you only talk that way because you're a man. Well, can any man then sympathize with a woman? So liberals constantly believe that they're the ones that kind of escape that tyranny of a way of thinking, and that, in fact, is a Gnostic position, that everybody else is kind of bound by their earthbound constraints of the time and place they were born in, their fleshly designations, their cultures. But there's a few that are able to transcend that and see the world the way it truly is.
I mean, you point out the logically self-defeating nature of that way of thinking, but the fact remains, and you point this out in your article, that there's a better way of understanding truth, not as culture-based or as race-based or as gender-based, but as based in objective reality.
Yeah, and that's what Christ did, wasn't it? He came and he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one gets to the Father but through me. And from that moment on, at least where Christianity has gone, we have always understood truth to be something that it doesn't matter who discovers it. I use the expression truth gold in my article. You know, if you discover truth gold, or if a certain area discovers truth gold, hey, awesome. Let's go rush over there and find out what so-and-so has discovered and talk about it. But as long as you look at truth as objective, as something that is outside of me and not hinged to what I am as a white or a male or whatever, then it's something that several people can come together and discuss and look at. And it actually becomes a uniting thing. I, you know, as a white male and a black woman, and that's a lot of what I do actually in my ministry, can come together and talk about the truth as something objective. There isn't this little wall between us that says, well, you can never understand me because I'm a black woman, and I'll never understand you because you're a white man. And that's what Christ gives us, is he makes truth an objective thing that brings people together.
You say this, and please explain what you mean, that behind the house of mirrors that is progressive epistemology, there is an underlying horror show. What are you talking about?
Well, it's exactly what I was kind of hinting at before, is that everybody is bound by their culture, their gender, whatever, except those few special people that are able to transcend it. I was just rereading a Hegel quote where he says, you know, everybody else, all the other scientists, they just loved knowledge, but I'm going to try to get real knowledge. You know, I'm going to actually get it. Everybody else has kind of dabbled around and we're pursuing knowledge, but I'm going to really get the glimpse of the truth itself. Well, who is granted that privilege? Who is granted that insight? Well, a certain special field. And Gnosticism would say, well, there's a few elite who are granted that transcendency. Well, that's a dangerous way of thinking, because especially coupled with evolutionary thinking, and there is this idea out there that there are a certain select elite few who have sort of evolved to the next age of human history where they're just a little bit better. They're transhuman. They're not bound by their culture. They're not bound by their gender. They've ascended to the next level of humanity. Well, we've seen where that led to with Adolf Hitler, who believed that about the white race. And I fear that we may be seeing that with certain pockets of liberalism today, where especially where you see sort of this idea that, oh, the, you know, white males in America, they're aging and dying, and their age is over with. There's a new world coming in, and almost like they don't care. I've read some articles talking about the rising suicide rate among older white males, and some liberals are not caring at all about it. So that's a good thing. Their time is over. We're moving to the next stage. It's kind of scary to see stuff like that.
What I find just so horrifying about that is that it is, I mean, it's positively racist. I mean,
right.
It is. It's blatantly racist to say, well, look, we need to dispense with the ideas or even with the actual persons of white males. I can't think of anything more sexist and racist to say. If we were to reverse that, I think everyone would see the blatant racism and sexism of it.
Right. Unless the person happens to be one of the founders of postmodernism, then it's perfectly fine. Which gets to the point that it's ultimately not about race and gender. It's about Christianity, I think, ultimately. It's anything that attacks Christianity, therefore, and it just happens to be that Christianity has tended to be strong in the Western world, so that's what they go after.
Surely someone has noticed this. I mean, you can't have been the first to notice that the roots of so much progressive thought in the Western world today is, in fact, from Western European white males.
Right.
Do you think that the progressive minds today notice the irony or even know where their ideas come from?
Another thing that I discovered in my studies of Gnosticism is we're beyond, they call it the logocentric universe. We're beyond rationality. It doesn't matter. You point out paradoxes. You point out inconsistencies. You point out, I mean, go into the transgender movement. Talk about a house of mirrors. There's so many paradoxes in that movement, you can't keep up with it. It doesn't matter because according to the Gnostic understanding, we're moving beyond the age of Aquarius, the age of the Logos, the age of a logocentric cosmic architecture. I keep on using that phrase. So we're in an age where play and paradox and image is more important than rational arguments. And that to me is a terrifying thing too. So you can point it out. Most people, they just don't care. They're winning the debate. They're winning the culture wars. Why do they care if they're inconsistent?
So, I mean, I just can kind of imagine a college graduate course critiquing the ideology of the white male, and the textbooks they use for their critique are going to all be written by white males, probably.
Right.
Or have white males cited in the footnotes at the very least.
Yeah. I mean, they're learning from them, but it doesn't matter because they're just ignoring that. They're one of the Gnostics that have gotten this truth and are going to school the rest of the world, and they don't see the irony that they're no different than the old white missionaries that would go to Africa and try to convert the masses in Africa.
You write about the liar's paradox. Explain what that is, and I think it has some connection to what you just talked about, kind of the abandonment of rationality.
Yeah, exactly. The liar's paradox is the age-old question. If a Cretan says all Cretans are liars, can you believe him? And, you know, you can't answer that, because if you say yes, then how can you trust him? Because he's a Cretan, therefore he lies, therefore it's just this kind of circular mess that you can't get out of. And that's exactly it's the same question. If Marx says everything is determined by economic determinism or materialist determinism, if all thought is determined by one's economic situation, well, the thinking that he came up with, is that also determined by his economic situation? Weber says that everything is determined by the culture you belong into. Well, did his culture determine his way of thinking? And the same with the deconstructionists and the postmodernists. I mean, if all writing is just a power play, everything I write is merely me asserting myself as a white male. Well, when you were writing, were you doing the same thing? How come you get the right to escape that tyranny of our location and time and place, but we're not? Or we're subject to the tyranny, but they're not. Why is that the case?
And it's not as though this is some sort of isolated or rarefied conversation taking place somewhere at the university, at the graduate school. This has found its way into the very fabric of our thinking here in the West. Talk about that, if you would.
Yeah, well, I mean, it cropped up in my own ministry. We were going to do the summer program, and we were invited in to do religious-based programming. We were invited to share the gospel, to talk about Christ. And we sat down at the first planning meeting, and they saw our curriculum and said, could you not use titles? And we knew what title they were getting at, the title of Jesus Christ. And we basically said, no, we were invited to do this. We're not going to just talk about character building or morality. And they later said, well, what we're worried about is if you're presenting about Jesus, we don't want to give the impression that you're just coming in here bringing a white man's religion or a white man's God. And, you know, that view was not held by everybody in the program, but that idea is there. And she said, this particular supervisor said, you know, we want to teach self-reliance, and we want to teach, you know, how people can you know, self-improvement. And so we don't want people to use Christ as a crutch. And indirectly, she was kind of saying, you know, you white people are using Jesus to keep us reliant on that so you can have control over us. So, yeah, this is real-time stuff happening right down in the trenches, so to speak.
I mean, it is shocking to think that woman there parrots, in essence, the classical Marxist view of religion.
And that was the irony. I mean, that was the irony, is that you want to talk about a white man's religion. Well, modern-day Marxism is a white man's religion that happens to be held by a whole lot of people that aren't culturally Western European. Meanwhile, and you know, I was kind of pushing his point probably further than I could have, but Christianity, if you look at, like I say, you look at its epicenter, and it puts us, a lot of Northern Africans are very instrumental in shaping Christian theology. I mentioned Augustine and Athanasius, who, yeah, I know we're not technically black per se, but they were Africans.
Part of, you know, when you have your eyes open to this, Pastor Burfein, you begin to see that there is kind of a sinister logic behind the assaults on religious liberty, especially in America. If this is the way they're thinking about Christianity, or maybe about religion in general, you start to begin to see the twisted logic behind those assaults on religious liberty.
Yeah, you start to see the modus operandi. It's basically to be a Christian and talk about it is to use hate speech, because Christianity is a white man's religion, and you are doing cultural imposition, or what's the new phrase they use, cultural appropriation, just to talk about your faith. You know, it's really, I mean, they claim to be sort of tolerant and building a liberal society where everybody's tolerant of one another, but what they're really doing is building up huge walls, blocking everybody off from one another.
Finally, with a few minutes left to us here, if you would talk about that solid place to stand, that objective basis upon which we, not only as individuals, but hopefully as a society, can move forward from this rather illogical way of conceiving of truth.
Yeah, and it's Christ. I mean, Christ is the icon of objective reality. Christ represents God coming into our flesh and blood. But unlike the Gnostics, who would say that God kind of became one of us and he's in each of us, and so you get this kind of fuzzy confusion where God ends and I begin, Christ very clearly delineated and defined where truth is to be located. And it is not anywhere near inside of me. He is outside of me, completely contoured by his own very body and blood. And the continuation of that after his ascension day, of course, is in his body, the church, and in the sacraments that define the church, where his word and sacrament are going on. There's very clear lines, clear delineation of where truth is. And again, it is not in me. My only connection to it is to receive that objective, contoured gift by faith, and my faith takes the exact contours of that gift given. And that's true not only in the sacrament, which is very clearly outlined by the wafer and the wine or the cup, which is Christ's body and blood, but also by the doctrines. I mean, we need to go back to doctrine and outline them and make them clear and delineate all this, you know, this doctrine that was decried for the last 40 years. You know, oh, don't worry about doctrine, just worry about what's in your heart. No, that's where objective truth resides, and we need to get back to that, because I'm seeing it in college. I mean, we've taught for 40 years that truth doesn't matter, that it's all what's going on in your heart. And now we get situations like that YouTube video that a lot of people have seen, where an interviewer who was 5'6" and white was asking college students what he was, or he went around saying, "Hey, if I said I was a 6'5" Asian American, what would you say?" And everybody said, "Oh, I guess if that's what you think you are, that's what you are." That's a crisis in thinking in our college level.
Pastor Peter Burfein is campus pastor at the University of Toledo. He is author of the book Gnostic America and a recent column for The Federalist titled How Western White Males Colonized the Progressive Mind. You can read it and find out more about the book Gnostic America under the Listen on Demand page at issuesetc.org. Pastor Berfein, thank you very much for being our guest.
Yeah, thanks so much, Todd.
He mentioned the crisis of critical thinking on the college campus today, and it's absolutely true. A great resource that will connect your college or university age child, grandchild, godchild to solid Lutheran resources, pastors, and congregations is LCMSU. Find them on the web, lcms.org/lcmsu. When we come back, it's time to play Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. We'll play our four soundbites for you, and then you vote by giving us a call, 1-877-623-6943. Get ready to vote for Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week.
Educating a new generation of Lutherans, you're listening to Issues Etc.
We know that you want to build your family on the right foundation from the very start, the foundation of Jesus Christ. Concordia Publishing House offers more than 8,000 products for churches, schools, and homes, dedicated customer service, and an experienced staff to help you focus on what matters most. Click to connect at cph.org. Concordia Publishing House. Listening, responding, providing for God's people. Concordia Publishing House. cph.org.
Do you wish your Lutheran school offered Latin, Greek, or logic? What about German or calculus? Right now, local Lutheran schools in two different states are utilizing Wittenberg Academy to expand their course offerings. Whether it's Latin for third graders or logic for seniors in high school, Wittenberg Academy can help. For your homeschooler or for your brick-and-mortar Lutheran school, we have solutions. To find out more, visit wittenbergacademy.org.